From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Hey guys, I'm Neil McCready. That's Chase Palm. Just announced Thursday night as we tape this. Henry's Guys brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. They make this show possible. We'll put this up in podcast form on Friday morning. Comer Heating and Air. If you are needing air heating service, all that stuff from Oxford, Tupelo, that area, get in touch with the people at Comer, 662-801-1777. If you are in DeSoto County, Hernando, Memphis, that area, get in touch with the people at Southern, 662-429-4429. Same great products, same great services, really the same people, but just different numbers, different names. They've come together to form one very strong heating and air company. They'll take great care of you. Their service is absolutely second to none. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call our friend Corey Clark. Ask Corey for a quote on the Ford product of your desires. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote and the rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I do, what I've done numerous times, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest will join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. We'll open that up a little bit later. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Great place for burger, a po' boy, appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, all of that. Great place to watch a game. You got NFL playoffs starting Saturday afternoon. You've got Ole Miss and Auburn Saturday night. So if you're coming into town, apparently it's a hot ticket for basketball. So, yeah, stop at Rafters. You'll enjoy yourself. And make sure you tell them that you heard about Rafters or you're there because they support the show. It'd be nice, too. And they also have a Rafters in New Albany as well. Chase, what's going on at the Oxford Exxon?
A little more opportunity still going on. Try to give you $10 free. Everybody likes free money. You get that by heading to the pump. Any Blue Sky location in Mississippi, take a picture of the QR code. It pulls up the Exxon Mobil app. 1,000 points equals $10. Even at the tank you were filling up right then. Take advantage of that if you're coming to town this weekend. Or again, any other locations up down I-55 and throughout North Mississippi. Also, lunch specials, $5.69, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drinks, and more. So all that at all Blue Sky locations, including here locally at the Oxford Exxon. Whew.
Tired? Had a day?
It's been a little bit of a day.
It's been a busy
life. Well, we talked about it here. I mean, there's several different things. The key point is Ole Miss has hired two coaches today, being Chris Kiffin, which is what I'll talk about in a second. He is going to be a co-defensive coordinator. As of now, it looks like he's going to coach linebackers. Looks like they're going to leave Joyner at defensive line, like Kiffin coach linebackers, so he returns. I know a lot of people ask about the nepotism rule. It's fine. There's ways around it. It's all good. So Kiffin hired as the co-defensive coordinator was Chris Partridge, who at some point will be announced, I assume. Almost would hope so. Partridge has had quite the week. They probably ought to hold on to him. And then running backs coach Markwell Blackwell, who was at Houston, used to be at Florida, is in line to replace Kevin Smith. So those are the two things that have gone on today from that standpoint. A couple different assistant coach hires, and for now, things pretty whatever. I was asked about this a little bit too. Just kind of hearing through the mill a little bit, somebody's talked about, you know, all the things Marquise Watson did. It looks like Elijah Sandweiss is probably the guy that's doing the majority of those, another analyst that is on that side of the ball. So from this point, that is what's going on from the staff. And then a couple hours ago, Ole Miss running back Henry Parrish jumping into the transfer portal, something that is not unexpected at all. I fully expect him to follow Kevin Smith to the University of Miami. Anything else would be a little shocking, I guess. But as long as that's what it is, I'm not surprised by that in the least, which makes for –
Does the jersey swap thing work at Ole Miss? How's that work? Because I mean, I had the jersey. Do I get to go shop it back, swap it back, and
get another one?
Like get a new player for free? Is that how that works?
Do you?
I don't really have the jersey. It's a joke, but
you should though.
I was
all in.
President of the fan club.
You were. Leaving quite the running back room change. Zach Evans, Kentrell Bullock, Quinshon Judkins. That's it, I guess. Did Isaiah Willard jump into the portal for sure? He was the rumored guy for like 9 months heading into the portal, but I don't know if he actually did it or not. Did he?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I can't. I'll be honest. There was so much portal stuff the last few days, I couldn't keep up. I was looking for two names in particular. Neither of those are in yet that I've seen.
What are you looking for?
I mean, at some point you kind of say it because it's the frustrating part of portal stuff is that you know that everybody tampers. So if I put the names out, I'm sort of...
You're proving the tampering.
I'm sort of accusing Ole Miss of tampering.
Sort of.
And Ole Miss is tampering, and people are tampering Ole Miss. I'm going to guess Henry didn't jump into the portal before he heard from somebody. And frankly, I don't have a problem with any of that. Does that bother you at all?
I don't care.
Because these people that are like, oh, this port is tampering, stop.
It's already the Wild Wild West, so what the hell's the difference, right?
I mean... Did you ask the girl to prom before you knew she would say yes? Because if you did, it was a little risky, right?
Yeah, you had to have a pretty good idea.
I mean, you kind of knew. They know. Let's see. What else we got?
More importantly, the player knows. Because he can't get left out in the cold.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's
some bad stories in the portal. I mean, frankly...
Because you can lose your scholarship immediately.
Frankly, it's the story we don't write enough.
Is the kid left in the middle of...
Because there's tons of them.
Well, you worried about a kid like even Jackson that jumps into the portal a couple days ago, and it's like...
Who?
Jaden Jackson. Like, oh, yeah. You know, like...
Where are you going?
Yeah. What if?
And it's possible that he was kind of told, hey, you probably ought to jump into the portal, champ. But if you don't have a place to go, it's a little risky. Yeah, Ginger says, would you ask a girl to marry you if you didn't already know the answer?
If you don't know the answer, I'd like for you to do it in an arena so we can all watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would like. I would like for you to pick the biggest stadium you can find and do it there.
Sign me up.
Are you like the nose in the arenas?
Oh, hell yes. You're going to do that in a public arena like that? Yes, you deserve the no. You deserve the humiliation.
Just for doing it in the arena, period.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yes, absolutely. There's no female alive that's like, you know what I really hope is I really hope one day that the man that I fall in love with proposes to me in a packed arena on the Jumbotron.
So what do you think the reason is the guy does it? Oh, Jaden Jackson's going to South Florida. Good for him.
Oh, okay, good.
That's a really good landing spot. I didn't know that. Good.
Just ego.
They want everybody to see it.
Weirdness. Maybe they feel like
they think that's the special thing.
Well, maybe they think that'll push her over the edge. That'll make her do it because she won't want to humiliate him in front of 17,000 people.
Oh.
He knows that if he were
that gets you more of a chance for a yes.
He knows that if he were to ask her in an intimate setting, she might say, John, we're not ready for this yet. We're not to this place. Or I don't feel like that for you.
Power Lee says, some little girl asked my son to a 7th grade dance, and he said no. You know what? You start dealing with some adversity early. I mean.
Grind, thanks for the super chat. He says, thanks for doing this. Here's the prize for last week's trivia. I didn't get it right. You got it right. Yeah. I didn't get it right.
We did get that right.
Thank you, Grind. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So when it happens in an arena, I'm always like, say no. Say no. Please say no. Because I think it's awful. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, see, I agree with you on this one. In that scenario, she says yes and then breaks it off later most of the time.
Yes.
You say yes and you gather and you go, you son of a...
Now 18,000 people, you have to explain to all those people, hey, how... Because, you know, somebody's like, hey, congratulations, or we're not still together. It's like on The Bachelor when they get to the end. I know that they have an agreement and stuff. But that's where don't you have to say, hey, look. I mean, like when you close the door and you have that, you know, the fantasy suite.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have to have that conversation when the door's closed? Listen, Jane, if we get to that place and I ask you, is your answer yes? Because if it's not, let's come up with a strategy here. Because neither one of us are quite ready for this.
Yeah.
Let's come up with a strategy now.
Let's make this palatable for everybody.
Yeah, let's fulfill our contract.
And you hope you're not talking to the psychopath they told you to leave on the show until the final four. Yeah.
Well, at that point, that's when you bail at the end.
I'm just not quite ready.
I have a fear of commitment. And it's just popped back up. There was a girl that I was with in the eighth grade. And I can't get over my feelings for her right now. And I just can't do this. But no, you know where you're going. If you're doing the portal right,
I forgot what we were talking
about. You know
one
of two things. You either know that you're going to have multiple offers and it's all going to be okay, or you know where you are going. Otherwise, you're doing the portal wrong.
Yeah, I saw this too. Steven says, words, the running back from Houston's going to follow the running back's coach that just hired. That is a rumor circulating. I got nothing on that at all, but that is something that's going around the internet, so I'm sure it's true. Because Ole Miss is, I was talking to a friend about it earlier, probably one short. You'd like for them to have one more? I mean, they got three.
Yeah.
You'd like one more.
Yeah, it's like the quarterback room. Better start adding some bodies to
that. Well,
needs work.
That one needs a couple different rooms.
Thanks to Cole. Appreciate you, buddy. Says, got my JD10, the fire going, egg lit, and TV on. Hand raised, guys. Appreciate you. Cheers to you as well.
I had a buddy showing me pictures of their app tonight. I'm contemplating the rec tech really hard right now. I'm like, I hadn't pulled the trigger, but we're kind of in the introductory phase to go in that route.
My friend Matt Mott, the Ole Miss soccer coach, just sent me a text. Makes me feel bad, but proud at the same time.
Okay.
Carson's middle school team, middle school, JV team, is playing in Starkville tonight. And he apparently just had a pretty impressive goal.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So Carson's had a day. I'm glad that he got a goal.
He
deserves a goal today.
Their JV's been winning too, right? They've been pretty good.
They have a really good group of ninth graders.
Yeah.
A group that has a ton of chemistry. They're fun. I almost called you today and said, hey, I'm going to go.
Okay.
But we could have, but I needed to.
Traeger, either one. Like, I don't know. I'm between the Traeger and the Rec. I think we're moving on from the egg. Like, I'm not going to get rid of it. I can keep it, but I think we're adding to the family. Like, I do. I think one of those two is going to happen. I just haven't made my mind up what to do yet.
Added to the Grill family?
Yeah. The Rec Tech or the Traeger. I had said Rec Tech because that's what I'd been hearing about all day, but Avery was pushing the Traeger in the stream.
Yeah. I can't decide if I add whether I want the Traeger or I want the flat top, the griddle thing.
The Blackstone thing?
Yeah, the Blackstone thing.
Why not both?
Well, at some point you run out of room.
There's only so many grills you can put out there. See, now everybody's just like throwing names at me. Just like, hey, no this. Now look, the Weber kettle grill will always remain like the goat of it will get anything accomplished and done. There is zero wrong with the old-timey Weber kettle at all. Yeah, you do not want me building any kind of pit out back.
Mm.
That would be a disaster to every level imaginable. I don't do handiwork.
The Weber kettle is a great grill.
It's a great grill.
It's a great grill. And in some ways, it's one of the most fun grills because it does require a certain amount of skill. The heat management and all that stuff.
The egg takes more work. That's kind of the point. Like, I mean, we've had this conversation. I mean, with the Rec Tech or something, you just, on your phone, just go, done.
Yeah, that's.
There's a negative and there's a positive, and I'm stuck in the middle. So if I have that and the egg.
It's like if I do
it's whatever mood I'm in that night. If I want to actually move some gears and push some buttons, the egg's right there.
If I do a brisket all day on the egg and it comes out great.
You had to kind of work for that.
Yeah, and then Carson's like, damn, Dad, this is the best one you've ever done. That makes me feel good. But if I put one on a Traeger where I go, okay, I know in 10 hours and 6 minutes and 4 seconds it's going to be right at. Do I really get the credit?
It's cheating.
It is kind of cheating.
It's cheating. But if you do the egg on the brisket and you spend 14 hours and then you screw it up, you're pissed. And you're going, well, the Traeger, I never have to worry about that.
But when you get it right, it's such a good feeling. Because you can easily get it wrong.
Because here's what's going to happen. And you know this too. If I get the Traeger or the Rectec and add to it, I'm going to start using it all the time because it's so easy that the egg is going to start getting neglected. As Ginger says, that was Malloy's thing when I had discussed with him. He goes, yeah, here's what actually feels good. It tastes right. He goes, that's what feels good. And I said, okay.
And it's a legitimate point. It's hard to argue. I mean, it's difficult to.
Yeah, I don't need actual skill necessarily. It's just kind of fun. It's just kind of it's one of those things. I don't build things, so this is that. But yeah, I think Neil and I are both a little tired. He had a day. It was only a defensive line coach, so it wasn't really a huge deal, but I was kind of waiting a long time for somebody to jump in the boat today, and Neil will understand this. There's a bit of, like, adrenaline and concern that goes through your head on that usually, in today's world, 2.5 hours is a long time, and it was kind of like...
I kind of bailed on you this morning.
It was fine, but, like...
life hit me, and I had to deal with that.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I know I'm going to be right, but I am right right now, right? And it was kind of touch and go for a minute. And some different people went, yeah, I don't know. And I went, oh, shit, okay, well.
You started getting a little pissy at a couple of people.
I was, I was.
Kind of one of those deals where, hey, you know all those times that I scratch your back? I got this itch right back here.
And then finally it was like, yeah. All right, fine. To be honest, I had never even heard the running back coach's name until today. I don't mean like in the search. I mean, period.
In your life.
Yeah, I didn't know he existed is actually what
I'm
saying.
Sure there's a breakdown describing what an incredible profile, incredible recruiter that he is. And he does have a reputation for being a good recruiter.
He does.
The only other name that I heard at all, and I said the word rumor like 4 times, and then I've gotten texts from people going, I thought you said it was going to be Montario Hardesty. And I'm like, which part of the word rumor in the subject line and in the message did you not get? Because I thought that was pretty clear. Yeah, I don't know a lot about him.
That's kind of what happened a little bit with the other one, too, was, I mean, I felt good about it, and I kind of said that in the board, but I still said, hey, I haven't confirmed this officially. Like, I'm just, what I'm hearing, there's a lot of smoke, I'll let you know. And then, like, yeah, like an hour later, you see, like, all the news stories pop up, report, colon, it's like...
Yeah,
not really what I said. Yeah. That was not the deal. But okay, click away. It's fine. It is what it is. So,
whew. By the time my day got normal, I was just kind of drained. So, I probably should have dug in and worked on the Houston running backs coach. I'll do it. In the
It'll
morning.
Keep tomorrow. I mean,
I expect a big announcement from them. I have heard a name on the. On the general manager, but I don't think it's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I'm still kind of digging around.
I feel like they're also adding a spot or two. So I feel like we're hearing a lot of names for multiple spots and not really sure where to put them.
I think so, too.
That's kind of the way I've felt about that.
Today was the first day that I sort of felt that way. I was like, you know what, maybe that...
That's not all for one job. There's another... I think they're adding some stuff. I don't know exactly what, but... Something.
It feels like they're sort of redoing the recruiting room, if you will. Not that there's an actual room, but
they're redoing
the way that they structure the personnel for recruiting.
The infrastructure in the village is being moved around.
It's what
it
feels like. And someone goes, "What do you? In what way?" I'm like, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't.
You don't have a lot of specifics. Just
the feeling. It's kind of a sense that they're shifting some things around. The other stuff that I guess we ought to touch on from a...
Shoot me a text on who you're hearing.
Okay. I'm just going to list the name of the school. People hate us right now.
Is that going to tell me?
I'd have to go back and look at his name.
Okay. I have a reason for asking you that.
So. Okay. Jackson Dart and
Michael Trigg.
Michael Trigg are in Oklahoma. They've been spotted there, according to media. They're supposed to be coming here on Saturday. There's some rumors that Dart has another visit after the Ole Miss one. There was some LSU buzz about Jackson Dart earlier today. They're active in the portal. LSU is all over the portal. So I don't know the latest there. And getting in touch with him is impossible. He does not return text. I've reached out to his family. Nobody's talking. They're close to the vest right now.
So it's tightened up in the last 24, 36 hours.
Yeah, and I've been unable to get a hold of Trigg's family, and I'd been able to touch base with them earlier. There's LSU's in on Trigg as well. I mean, it's the problem with the portal is that late in the portal, it's kind of like late in recruiting back in the day when you had a few spots left and there was a couple of big names. Everybody went in on that big name. Everybody's in on the portal. Spotted does sound creepy, that word.
Spotted?
Yeah, but they've apparently been seen in Norman. They're there. So if you were hoping the rod would fall through, it did not. I don't think the weather's going to be bad enough here to shut the town down, though. They are expecting bad weather Saturday. Some ice and snow, but potentially Saturday night, so... But I think guys will already have gotten in by then.
Yeah.
They think I'm on to something? Okay. You want to talk in code for like the next 30 minutes?
Yes, please.
Let's piss everyone off.
Everybody's in a good mood on a Thursday night, and let's do that. I don't know. Before I forget, I will tell you.
So you know, there's this guy.
That dude worked by this morning at the really good one. Yeah, him. Yeah. Like here,
the second guy.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Before we get too far down the weeds, we're gonna give some shrimp away tonight. New partner here with us, New Orleans based PrimeShrimp.com. PRIME. It's easy cooked shrimp, no mess, no prep. You just drop a frozen pouch into boiling water, all the seasonings, all the stuff already in that pouch. You can go straight from your freezer to ready to eat there on your plate in under 10 minutes. You don't have to be any kind of expert chef or anything. Flavors right now, signature seasoning, which is your traditional kind of seasoned boiled shrimp, garlic, paprika, some different stuff on that. And then they've got a French Quarter Alfredo that you put everything in the pouch in the water. Make some pasta that's just plain pasta. Drop it on there. You will have some Alfredo, some pasta, whatever you want to do with it, with that as well. Starting Monday, no, don't do this today. Starting Monday, 50% off your first order with code MPW for that. It's valid for 1 week, Monday through Friday. Money back guarantee if you don't love it. If you order over 4 pounds, ships free. They will ship it right there to your door. So go to PrimeShrimp.com. Use the code. And within a couple days, restaurant quality shrimp, under 10 minutes, easy for those, especially those people who are not around for that seafood. But we've got a couple different pouches. We'll give that away tonight. If you call in, maybe you impress us. Either way, we'll get a couple of it to you tonight as we do that. So again, PrimeShrimp.com. We'll tell you about it more in the coming days. But starting Monday, 50% off on that order. So, let's see. Casey, thank you. He says, percentage guess on Williams, Dart, and Trigg. Happy Festivus. I'm scared to give anything on anything right now.
Oh, God. I don't even imagine. What are the which names?
Williams, Dart, and Trigg.
Williams being Caleb?
To the best of my knowledge.
If it's Caleb, I'd say...
1%.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
2%.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to go always and never, I guess, but yeah, low, very low. Do you think Dart and Trigger for sure a package deal?
No, I do not. I think they would like to be a package deal, but no, I don't think that they are.
I have a higher percentage on Trigg than Dart. I don't even know why I think that, but
yeah,
I do.
I think I do too. I would go maybe even as high as 50% on Trigg. And on Dart, I just, it's hard to say. 40%? I don't know how I go any higher than that. He's not at Ole Miss.
He's got to get here first.
He's in Oklahoma right now.
Shows up on Saturday, and I might have a different answer.
Yeah, if he showed up on Saturday, I'm like, okay, well, they have a real shot. But until he's there.
Yeah, if they both show up on Saturday, I'll go to 75 and 60.
Oh. I'd go to 75 and 50.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Oh.
Hey,
I'd change things.
I mean. You asked for a number. I gave it to you. And then you pick on the number. What the hell do you want? I mean.
Okay. Yes.
51.7. I mean,
all the flames. Yes. Every flame we have, we would put on it at that point. Yes.
I'm making a post on the message board now. So
about what?
About what we just said.
Okay.
There's a name to watch.
Yeah. Just maybe.
Yeah,
don't go too strong. I don't know. What else is going on around the world today?
Today?
Yeah.
Well, it's a pretty big national story.
Yeah, no. Stop. Nope. The sports world.
Because the real world was kind of busy today.
Yeah, no, it's not. I actually had somebody, I was so busy today, I kind of forgot about some of that, and I was talking to somebody this afternoon, and they're like, yeah, I've been watching whatever all day. I was like, oh, yeah, no, thanks, let's move on. I'm good. Texans fired their coach today. Just one season.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So Kiffin to Houston?
100%, yeah. As I had a buddy text me, it says, the Texans owe David Culley another $17 million over the next 3 years. He's walking away with $22 million for the one season. We all picked the wrong profession.
Damn
Even
right.
if we sucked at it, we picked the wrong
Damn
profession.
Right.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, I need to tell Carson you need to just go coach football. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Just go become a head football coach.
I think Charlie Watts Jr. was onto something. When you're 13, just start doing that and it enough.
It helps that your dad is the coach of the Chiefs.
Might have been born beyond home plate, okay? But it's all right.
It helps when you're rounding second at birth.
What?
No, I'm just laughing at something. So I don't know. Those would be my numbers. And then the other guy that we get asked about all the time is Deion Smith, and I just don't know.
I mean, until he gets done with these classes, there's nothing. I mean, if he gets done with that and still has – if there's still momentum, I feel okay about it. But as of right now, once they have to pass these classes, staying at your original school becomes much more likely.
He's got work to do to get eligible there.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, no, eligible is eligible. I mean –
You excited about the playoffs? NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. The Saints aren't in it, so there's no pressure. You get to actually enjoy the games.
Yeah. I've spent a week, I mean, not a huge deal. Them not being in is, frankly, a little strange because they've been making it more than they haven't for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get that because when they make it, I'm always going, okay, how are you guys going to break me here in 1 to 2 weeks? What is the way that you're going to be winning a game with 4 seconds left and then lose this stupid thing? So that's nice. I'm not locked in, though. Maybe I get locked in. There's some games I want to watch, sure. But I'm not like crazy just dying for it as it comes through. I mean, we've got them here. I mean, kind of go 1 to 10 on
All right.
interest level.
Okay.
Las Vegas and Cincinnati.
10.
No, but seriously, the Bengals are fun.
Eight.
It's seriously. An 8. Yeah, it's an 8. Yeah. It's an 8. New England, Buffalo, 9.5.
Yeah.
In
the snow, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe 10. Like
maybe an 11. I mean,
if it was next week, it's definitely a 10.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a little less because it's this week, but 9.5, 9.
No, I'm in, sure.
Okay. Philadelphia and Tampa Bay, I'll be honest, I don't even care to the point of you couldn't tell me, hey, what if Philly wins? Or I don't care. I have very little on this.
It's for me, the only reason I will watch it is because
it's an NFL playoff game.
Well, and part of my writing process is to come in here and
okay
work during an NFL game. That's my background noise.
Mm-hmm.
So that game will be on.
Okay.
Because I'll be motivated to get done in time to watch the next one. Because the next one is very high for me. because the recipe where Dallas loses is makes me kind of happy, and I think this is a losable game for them.
Oh, I think it's very losable.
And so I'll be engaged.
San Francisco's physical kind of can get at you a little bit. I mean, I don't really like Garoppolo, but...
But he can get going.
I want San Francisco to win.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of house money for them. And they've been that battle-tested NFC West thing. Those teams have beat each other up, and now they get to play other people.
Or at least they do. The other two don't. They play each other.
They play each other. But yeah, well, the Niners do.
Yeah. That's what I said. Not Arizona or LA. They play each other.
And Dallas gets a little tight in the playoffs.
Well, see,
it's been a minute.
That was the one I was upset about, Neil. I told you that on Sunday. I held off because I went, you know what? Nope, it's the Saints. It's the Rams. They can screw this up for me at some point. But my tweet I had ready to go was to make fun of the Cowboys because the Saints had no chance in hell of winning the Super Bowl, and it was going to be something along the lines of, oh, now I know what the Cowboys have felt like the last 25 years. You make the playoffs, and you have no shot in hell of winning. And I was like, damn it, I really was excited about that. And I didn't do it. I said, nope, I'm just going to do whatever.
It could be a little iffy.
Pittsburgh, Kansas City.
Mm-mm.
I like it better than Philadelphia, Tampa. If it's competitive, it feels...
I just don't know how this... I don't know how this game's going to be competitive.
And then I'm all in on Monday.
Oh, no, Monday night, totally locked in.
Cardinals and Rams.
Absolutely. Totally in. Has a chance to be a really good game. And the Rams, it's... You lose.
Because you're kind of selling out for these win seasons, and you're not...
You know, kind of selling out to it. They sold out.
And Matt Stafford does not feel like a Super Bowl winning quarterback right now.
Not right now. And the rest of his team, I mean, that defense should be better than it is. They got players on that defense, and they just... The Niners ate them alive in the second half the other day. You're playing for something, and they just... It was... They were soft. Team like that with that kind of money shouldn't be soft. No one calls the Packers soft.
You can pick whatever you want. Who's your Super Bowl teams?
Oh, look, I want Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP of the Super Bowl so bad. Just to watch the implosion in media. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Buffalo get there. They're kind of fun. It feels like it's almost time. Cincinnati would be a fun Cinderella. I don't think they're there yet. I've watched them a lot this season, and I don't think they're quite there.
It's why the AFC is more fun, because there's more teams that kind of feel fun a little bit.
Kansas City can be fun.
Yeah. They've been so good, they're not as fun.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the NFC, I don't mind the Packers that much. As much as I want to hate their guts because of Dylan, I don't mind the Rams winning. I kind of pull for them to some extent, as much as it gives me bile in my throat.
They're not a likable team.
They're not very likable. You have to really like them for them to be at all likable.
But if you're just a casual viewer of their games, you catch yourself cheering against them in every game.
You think so? Oh, really?
I do.
Do you really?
They're not likable at all.
What is it?
Well, they're the dog that you walk up to going, "Hey, boy," and you're like, "No, I'm good. That's okay. I'll never try to pet you again."
That's the Rams.
Yeah. Like the Rams are like a pretty dog, and you go up to it thinking, "Hey, fella," and they try to take your hand off. No, you're good at that point.
It's a really good looking Doberman, but he's still a Doberman.
Yeah. Still a Doberman.
Still a Doberman. I'll be happy for my friends if the Titans get there.
Yeah, sure.
Buffalo's fun.
Do you think the Titans can get to the Super Bowl? I know they're the one seed.
They're the one seed, Neil. You don't like them.
Just feels like... Look, I like Ryan Tannehill. Seems like a great guy. He's going to go win two playoff games.
I do think he's underrated.
he's going to get through Joe Burrow and then either maybe Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, Chase. It doesn't feel right.
Titans or Bills, so you give a better chance. See, I still think the Bengals are the, hey, I'm enjoying myself and maybe win a game, but I'm not getting there this year.
I think the Bengals win Saturday and then they scare the hell out of somebody. I guess it likely be the Titans. Yeah. I mean,
and you're thinking they might do more than scare them.
Well, you get Joe Burrow and all those guys in there, and they get a couple of scores in them, and they're like, "Hey, this is house money."
Because you're pretty obsessed with Jamar Chase right now. Yeah,
look at his numbers. I mean, just
see where Alabama's three guys were in the top four of the Rookie of the Year voting. Like, at some of those things.
I mean, it's not surprising.
Yeah, all three of them. Chase should win.
It should be Chase or Jones, and I would vote for Chase.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jones has sneaky had a great rookie year for a quarterback.
He has figured it out.
Shocker.
Patriots, Jones.
Yeah, just a good fit. Ginger says, we know Tannehill's serviceable, but we're never going to the Super Bowl with him. It's just kind of what it feels like. And listen, I would be really happy for Ryan Tannehill. I'd be happy for Titans fans. But I don't get the warm fuzzies when I think about it. You know, it's like someone goes, hey, the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. Go, yeah, I get it. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I get it. Patrick Mahomes, they're going to the Super Bowl. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I told you, hey, it's either Ryan Tannehill or Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl. Because Burrow doesn't strike me as the type of cat that's going to have a first playoff game freak out.
You don't think so?
Nah. I just don't think he's wired that way.
Who are you giving as the second highest chance in the NFC? Packers obviously have the best chance.
Yeah, Packers are the best. Tampa, just because they're Tampa and they're built for the playoffs, even though it feels like they don't have the weapons this year that they had a year ago. But quarterback still named Brady. And they're still good on defense. So probably them. Because you okay. Do kind of think if it's Tampa and Green Bay in a playoff game at Lambeau that Aaron Rodgers looks across the field and has to take a deep breath and go, the past is the past. The past is the past. The past is the past.
I do think Mike Vrabel should win Coach of the Year.
Yes.
Done a hell of a job. Really has. I think the Saints are going to draft their quarterback for next year. I think it's one of these rookies. Now, whether they play next year or not, I don't know. But, I mean, their next quarterback is somebody they draft in this draft, my opinion. So, I think you're talking about a Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral kind of deal. Malik Willis.
Where do the Saints pick? What number?
17, 18, something like that.
I don't see Corral getting that far.
You got to move. Might have to move.
I don't know that Pickett gets that far. And then after that, I'd be real hesitant.
Franchise quarterback, Malik Willis.
And for what it's worth, I don't think Pickett's a franchise quarterback.
Well, no, they said he was great other than his arm strength and his awareness. I mean, it was fine.
I think Matt could be one. Now, I don't know that Matt's ready to step in and go, hey, here's the offense. You're the rookie. Go.
I'm sure.
But if you told me that second-year Matt Corral in a Sean Payton system is putting up big numbers and making things happen, I'd buy it.
That would not blow you away at all.
And Sean Payton would not put up with the running around, getting yourself hit thing.
No.
There would be a fine system in place that would get Matt's attention quickly.
It's not a, hey, we're going to tell you to not do that. You're not going to do that.
No, that's $10,000, sir.
Every time you lower your shoulder or get hit.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Peyton would get his attention with that, for sure. And you wouldn't, in an NFL locker room, also older players would get his attention with that. Like, that, you're not doing that stuff.
Grind says over under 1.5 callers that bring up college basketball, not including me. I don't know. Is Bracken listening? Otherwise, about all I got there.
I will say this. Ole Miss and Auburn. Ole Miss typically gives Auburn fits.
They have beaten Auburn up. But they better bring the lunch.
Kermit gets in Bruce Pearl's head. That being said,
a tall task on Saturday night.
And Auburn has a forward named Jabari Smith Jr. who is going to be a household NBA name. And appears to be a really great kid. And has a solid shot. It's not a certainty, but a solid shot at being the first pick in the draft. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got, even if you're not particularly interested.
How will they try to guard him?
They don't really have anybody that can. I mean, they can zone and stuff, but he can hurt you on kind of every level. And he's just such a smooth player. I mean, he will go out and just – he's one of those guys that he doesn't even look like he's trying very hard. And you look up and he's got 25 points and he just beat Alabama on the road, kind of leading his team. Just smooth. They've got other players too. Auburn's good. I mean, Auburn would be a one seed if they did the tournament today. And obviously they don't do the tournament today, and there's a lot of basketball left, but they are a legitimate title contender, and Smith is special. I mean, I can't imagine him falling further than third in the draft. The kid at Duke is really well thought of. Chet Holmgren at Gonzaga is well thought of. There's a kid in France, I think, a big 7'3 kid that's got an elite skill set that's up in that mix too. And then Jabari Smith's in that group. And like I said, could end up being the number one guy in that group. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are three, maybe four franchise players most people think in this draft. It's a strong draft. I mean, that's why the teams that are at the bottom of the NBA don't need to be winning games. You want to
get as many ping pong balls as you can get.
You want your ping pong balls in the hopper. Yeah, Jimmy Dykes compared him to Lynn Bias.
Oh,
you don't remember Lynn Bias?
No,
I remember Lynn Bias when I was a kid. I was in high school and stuff when Lynn Bias was at Maryland, and he was smooth and so strong and powerful, and one of the most powerful radio interviews I ever did was with Lynn Bias's mom.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I got his mother on WNSP. And she did like three segments talking about her son and about, for those that don't know, Lynn Bias, I think it was 2 days after the NBA draft, he went.
Was it really that? Really?
Yeah, he went, what did he go, second or third overall? He went to the Boston Celtics. And 2 days, 3 days, I want to say 2 days, he died of a cocaine overdose back in College Park, Maryland. Just a devastating tragedy. But he was an amazing basketball player. He was the one guy in the SEC that could SEC, one guy in the ACC that could bother Michael Jordan at North Carolina. He was it. He was special.
2 days.
2 days. I thought
second overall pick in the 86 draft.
Who was the first pick in that draft? I don't even remember.
86 draft was
that
Brad Daugherty?
Oh, okay. He had a great career.
Hard to argue there. Bias was the only one of the top 22 picks to not appear in an NBA game. I guess that's not really surprising.
Had a brother that died, got murdered like a year later, 2 years later.
All-stars on that team are all-stars in that draft. Well, two Hall of Famers are in that draft, actually.
Who are the Hall of Famers?
Sabonis and Dennis Rodman were in that draft.
Oh, yeah.
Rodman goes 27th overall.
From Southeast Oklahoma?
That is correct, yes. That is correct. To the Detroit Pistons.
And Arvydas Sabonis would have he would have been in his 30s by the time he got to the NBA because he was a superstar in Russia.
Oh, he was older, a good bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, Portland at the 24th pick. Then other all-stars, Mark Price.
He had a great career.
Doherty. And then let me see what this color indicates. Oh, sorry. Other all-star, also all-stars, Kevin Duckworth, Jeff Hornacek. Drazen Petrovic, he's in the Hall of Fame? No, that's not right. Yeah, it is.
He was okay. One of the greatest shooters in the world before he tragically died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame as well. Okay.
There's your trip down basketball memory lane. Again, Ole Miss and Auburn, 7:30 tip on Saturday night.
That's correct, yes. Tom Brady keep getting asked today about not shaking Foles' hand during that Super Bowl a couple years ago, or 4 years ago now. He infamously.
Oh, it's because is Foles playing?
No, they're playing the Eagles. He's playing the Eagles for the first time.
Okay.
But Peterson nor Foles are actually on the team.
So they're getting on Brady about shaking somebody's
hand
after.
Well, just said, apparently Eagles fans are still very bothered by it. Like, it's been a big thing in Philadelphia that Brady did not shake Foles' hand after the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles 4 years ago. And somebody said, a reporter today says, are you aware of the Eagles fans' fixation with you not shaking Foles' hand? Tom goes, no, I'm not. I've shaken Nick's hand plenty of times, though I've got a lot of respect for Nick. Brady also quickly acknowledged the perception some might have of his competitiveness. I try to be a good sport as best I can. I know it doesn't always look like that because sometimes I get a little pissed out there. But for the most part, I try to be a good sport. Brady also did not shake Foles' hand after Foles and the Bears beat the Bucks 20-19 last season on national television. That's when Brady infamously forgot it was fourth down and what would be his first loss with the Bucks on national TV. Brady had high praise, blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha.
Blah, blah. Yeah. So apparently that was a thing in Philadelphia.
Slow news day in Philly.
Yeah. So 4 years ago, you didn't shake the hand of the guy that's no longer the quarterback? Thoughts? Okay, well.
You know, Tom Brady got up today thinking, you know, things I won't be asked about.
Shaking Nick Foles'
hand from 4 years ago. All right, I'll open up the phones. Let's see, there's the number, 662-259-0991. Hopefully, I've reset the computer twice today, so hopefully we're not going to have a Skype eCam communication.
Oh, I forgot about that.
But you never know. But yeah, Lonise? I can't remember how to pronounce it. It's Lonise Bias. His mother. She was great.
So what did you talk to her about?
She was doing a lot of stuff about drug education at the time. And so I just took a flyer that she would come on the show. Thinking she probably wouldn't. And she did. And she was great. I mean, very impressive. Had lost two sons. Is there something you want me to turn on here?
Oh, no, I just didn't know we were
doing. Connection's not very good right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Hey, who do we have?
Hello?
Hey, who do we have?
We have Henry Ha.
Hey, Henry, what's up?
I was going to call and see if they could name, like, the three most successful the three teams where Matt would be most successful, like, reasonably, where he could be drafted and what three teams would be best for him.
What do you think, Chase?
Let me pull up the draft order.
Best places. Well, the first one that comes to mind immediately for me is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and he's been pushed there a good bit, too.
And I don't know that he's going to fall that far, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you
have draft order up?
That's what I'm pulling up right now.
There's a lot of Washington buzz that's out there now because I think Washington is ninth.
They've been kind of stuck on him for a while. And
yeah.
That one's been a little worrisome because I would not want him in Washington.
When you keep hearing Washington over and over and over, you should probably pay attention to that because a lot of these guys are really trying to get mock drafts right, and they're talking to people. And
the latest mock draft I see right now has him going 9 to the Broncos.
Okay.
Give
me the draft order. Let's go through it real quick.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Start with
1.
Yeah.
Jags, Lions. Okay,
so it won't be the Jags. They're not taking a quarterback.
Won't be the Lions.
You don't think Detroit goes quarterback at 2?
No, they're been really tied to Thibodeau, that defensive end.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Texans at 3.
They could go quarterback. They don't have one.
They think they might actually give Davis Mills a chance.
Okay.
They're contemplating that. The Jets at 4.
No, they won't go quarterback because they're tied to Wilson now.
Yeah. Giants at 5.
Last time they took an Ole Miss quarterback in the first round, it worked out. It feels like they...
This mock draft has them taking Kyle Hamilton, a safety from Notre Dame.
Put a pin by the Giants.
They have the 7th pick, too.
Oh, the Giants pick twice.
5 and 7.
In a draft where you don't have to move up to 1 to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
The Giants would be a candidate there.
Falcons, 8.
No, they won't go quarterback.
Corral at 9. Jets at 10. They have 2 picks.
Who's 9?
Broncos. They had Corral.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Washington at 11 is definitely one to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely one to watch.
Vikings at 12.
They are probably going to take a quarterback.
This is an interesting one here. This CBS mock draft I'm looking at has the Browns at 13 taking Malik Willis.
Has the Browns at 13 taking Malik Willis? Wonder if that's an indication that they're ready to move off Baker Mayfield.
Don't know. Ravens at 14, Eagles at 15, Eagles at 16, back-to-back picks. Chargers 17, Saints 18. Eagles again at 19.
Ooh, so the Eagles have a ton of capital if they wanted to move up and get somebody.
Yeah. Steelers at 20. I don't think Matt Corral is there past 20 for sure. Because I think you're talking Broncos, Redskins, Saints, Steelers. For sure. And that's probably it. I don't see him falling farther than that.
No.
At all.
I don't see him falling past.
Steelers and Saints are by far the best two spots for him.
I'd be surprised if he fell past the first 12 picks. Okay. And the only way he would, is, in my opinion, is if the ankle became something problematic from a medical standpoint. And the odds of that, I would think, are really slim.
And we don't know the coach yet, but Denver's not a bad spot for him. Washington is, out of the ones that I think are possible, Washington's the only no-go. I would want nothing to do with Washington with him, but everything else I can at least. I mean, frankly, the Giants have been a train wreck. That would worry you right now.
Well, they've been a train wreck for a long time.
Yeah.
But they finally fired Judge, and Gettleman's retiring, so surely they're going to bring in people that are better than that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'll go into it rooting for him to make a lot of money, but from a straight team standpoint, I think I'll be rooting for Saints and Steelers for him.
Yeah, I can see that. That answer your question, Henry? He's gone, yeah. I guess so. I guess he felt good about it. Yeah, I think he did think he was talking to a screener, by the way.
Oh, did he really?
He did, yeah. I mean, you know, it happens.
And the Giants have been horrific.
Well, they've been completely mismanaged. It's like, I mean, I don't know that – it's hard for me to pin the whole thing on Daniel Jones. I mean, he hasn't really had any protection. They haven't given him a lot of receivers to work with. They've given him Saquon Barkley. Haven't been a very good team. They've mismanaged their money. I mean, I've never watched Jones and thought, that guy's an elite quarterback. But I've also never watched him and said, that guy's a bum. And this is all his fault.
No.
Because he's actually made
He shouldn't have been taken where he was taken.
No, but he's made some plays. He's okay. I mean, it's not their most glaring need, frankly. I mean, when you evaluate their roster, there's a lot of spots on that roster that are a lot worse than quarterback. All right, phone line open, 662-259-0991. This is going to be one of those nights where, to be completely honest, you're going to have to help us.
It's been a week.
We're a team with, we have been on the phone with one another, with other people, a lot.
It's the second day of a back-to-back right now. And
this is the third day of a back-to-back-to-back.
Have the Grizzlies lost, or are they still on that streak?
I think they're still on a streak.
Are they?
I think they're playing right now, if I could. I wish that
they play at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay, they play later. Gotcha. Yeah.
Play the Mavs at 9.
In Dallas?
In Memphis.
Oh.
Is Ja the MVP?
Oh.
Can Ja win the MVP?
Yeah. Because they're like the four seed right now. Now, they have to stay super hot.
They're 29-14 right now.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the conversation for sure.
I get it.
If you're called from the 803 number, call back. I didn't have it up. I'll answer this time. Hit the call again. No, I think Ja's definitely an MVP candidate. He's been terrific. He's a great story. I mean, he's a fun player. I mean,
they're the three right now.
He makes their look.
Well, now there's two separated, and then they're the three.
They're legitimately good.
And they have a 6-game lead on the five.
Yeah. Hey, who do we have?
Will.
What's up, Will?
Not much. Just watching the Grizzlies right now.
Oh, they are on right now. Sorry, I had the wrong day then. My bad. They're playing
Minnesota tonight, and then tomorrow's Dallas.
Got it. Okay.
So, Neil, what's the best you think the Grizzlies can do? You talk like one series they win?
No. I mean, they kind of remind me of the Thunder at the beginning of that run when they kind of went on a – I mean, people like to do the thing about the Thunder being the bust because they never won a title, but they did make several Western Conference Finals, which is still in today's NBA a hell of an accomplishment.
Right.
No, I think they could make the Western Conference Finals. I think they could win a series and compete in a second series for sure.
Right.
I mean, you know, they're young and all that stuff, but look, they're really talented. Their team's been really well put together. And they'll get after you, and they'll have a home court advantage in the playoffs. They'll play with a ton of energy in the playoffs. And no, I mean, they're legit. I mean, I don't think they're quite ready to make the finals or win a championship or anything, but they're right there on the next level underneath that.
Right. And then what do you think about Penny? Penny's gone, right?
In any other market, he would be, and he might be there, but he's got so much media support.
Well, why?
Because he's
terrible. Because he's Penny Hardaway.
Because he's Penny Hardaway, and the media there is obsessed with his ability to recruit high profile players. And he's got.
But he doesn't win.
But he's got a soap opera going, and so I think part of it is that. Some of the media there love the soap opera, and then some of the media there are just enamored with him. They're sort of starstruck.
Yeah, I guess. They're like, what, 9-6 now? They lost Central Florida last night.
Yeah, I saw the.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, I saw the UCF loss.
That's not good.
That's not good. I don't know where they are in the net right now. I hadn't looked at it.
Can't be good.
Let's see. I'll find it now. We got a minute.
You think Rick Pitino would go there?
To the Grizz? I mean, to the Tigers?
Yeah.
Or anywhere. Somewhere other than where is he at now?
Minnesota. No, Iona.
Iona. He's at Iona.
Yeah. Anywhere's not.
Let's see.
He'll go back to Louisville.
No.
KenPom has Memphis at 38 still.
I'm looking. Let's see. I'm in the 40s right now. UAB's 45, Mississippi State's 47, A&M's 49, Florida's 50. Iona.
UAB, remind me real quick.
Can't think of his name. Iona is 56. Memphis is 58 in the net. So they're not in a good spot in the net right now.
No.
They're
no. And then lastly, where do you think Chance Campbell goes? What round?
Some of it depends on how he does in combines and stuff, but fifth round is what I'd bet on, and I think Chance makes an NFL team. I've thought that for a long time, and I'm biased. I really like him. I like his dad. I like his family, so I'm cheering for him, and I'll admit the bias is there as it pertains to him, but I do think he's an NFL player on the right team.
Yeah, he's too good. He's so good in run support. That's what kept – I mean, we've been so bad at linebacker, and It was like he was finally there this year. He finally did it, and just, I don't know.
And he's a really smart player. People do this, and he and I talked about this on our last episode of our podcast that we did. You know, people do that deal with him, and let's face it, it's because of some of the stereotypes that you do, frankly, with white linebackers. People do the, well, he's cerebral, but he's slow. I don't know that Chance is as slow as people say he is.
I don't think he's slow. I never got that vibe.
Yeah, and then they do the thing about he's undersized. And if you look at modern NBA linebackers, no, I mean, is he Mike Singletary? No, but how many people are? But he's 6'3", and he's 230, 235. I mean, you know, he's – I don't know that that's undersized. And so if you told me that – and I won't say who, obviously, because it was a friend who's an NBA scout who would not appreciate me using his team or anything else. But I talked to an NBA guy who thinks that he could play that Will linebacker spot at the NFL level and play it effectively for a long time. They like – this particular franchise is – intrigued by him. They want to see him run.
Yeah.
They want to see his 40 time. They want to see him in a workout setting, and they want to bring him to their city and all of that stuff and get a look. But they like him, and that's before they've even gotten to know him. And when they get to know him, they're going to be real impressed with him. He's going to wow teams in the intangibles. So, but look, it's
kind of like a Hunter Renfrow kind of guy.
Well, a little bit, you know, and I mean, that was the knock on Hunter Renfrow forever, right, at Clemson. And then in the NFL was, oh, this guy's too small, he's too this, he's too that. No, he's just a football player. I mean, and he just makes plays.
He's just a dude.
But he's a football player. And at the end of the day, I mean, but look, here's the thing about the draft, right? The college football season just ended on Monday night. The draft isn't for another, what, 3 months? These guys,
right.
These guys meet, and they meet, and they meet, and they meet, and they do everything they – and if you and I got into an organization, you know what? We would fall into the trap, and we would do it too. You meet, and you meet, and you meet, and you meet, and you end up just analyzing something to death. And you overanalyze, and you overanalyze, and you pick it apart. And by the time the draft rolls around, you've found everything that's wrong with somebody, and you've fallen in love with the workout guy because you saw that you had your whole staff at a workout, and you saw this guy run a 4.38. And you watched him bench 225, 31 times, and he just wows you. And when he – I don't mean this in a sexual way, but when you strip him down to his underwear, you're like, that dude's going to be – he just looks like a player. My God, he's going to be awesome. And then you get away from his college film, and his college film was kind of questionable. That happens every single year, and it'll happen this year. And then the opposite of that is true. There will be the guy that – doesn't wow you in the 40, and he doesn't wow you on the bench, and he doesn't blow away the cone drill. DK Metcalf says hello, but it happens every year, and they find these things because they have so much time to analyze it, and then they get away from his college film, and his college film dude just made plays, and he just made plays. And if you watch, like, Renfrow's a great example. If you watched Renfrow at Clemson, and the only thing you based the draft off of was college results, he would have been a first-round pick.
He would have been top 20, yeah.
Because all he did was make plays. And yet,
yeah. Yet
he's small, and you measure everybody, and you just find things wrong with people if you have 3 months to pick somebody apart. And they all do, and they all make mistakes. And, I mean, even the great evaluators make draft mistakes, always. And it's because there's so much time to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
You too. Looking to see where Ole Miss is after their loss. They were 111 the other day. They are 113. So they fell two spots after the loss to A&M.
They are 102 in KenPom. Ken Pom has them predicted to go 15-16, 7-11 in the league. Gives them a 19% chance of winning tomorrow night or Saturday night.
Auburn, meanwhile, is 6 in the net rankings. The top 6 are Baylor, Arizona, the little engine that could in Baton Rouge, Houston, Gonzaga, Auburn, and then it's the rest.
LSU's 3 or 4 in net.
LSU's 3 in the net, and then it's Villanova, Purdue, Kansas, and Tennessee. Round out the top 10.
Auburn 6 in KenPom. They are saying the score Saturday will be 74-64 Tigers.
Yeah, I can see that. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, it's Cole. What's up, guys?
Hey, Cole. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. Just sitting here watching and grilling.
What are you grilling?
Chicken wings. I love chicken wings.
I do, too.
Way too much.
One of my favorite things.
What's the rub? What are you putting on them?
Lemon pepper tonight.
Okay.
And every time is different. I mean, sometimes it's air fryer, which is fantastic. Sometimes it's egg indirect, straight over the fire. Just changes every time.
So tonight you're just grilling. You're not smoking. You're grilling.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So when are we going to bring back First In?
Do what?
When are we bringing back what?
When are we going to bring back First In?
I thought you said the first 10, and I was like, first 10 what? I don't know. When are they – Chase, you've been talking to all the Ole Miss people today. When are they bringing back Finn? And what are they doing in right field, by the way?
What is that structure? It's not going to be the permanent one down the road whenever the Capitol campaign is over.
But what is it? I didn't ask what it's going to be down the road. I asked what it is now.
It is a premium seating area called the 4111 Club, I believe is what it's called, that you can purchase
$41.11 to put it together.
It has been described to me twice today, once as a wedding tent, and the other is a golf hospitality tent. Those are the two.
The golf hospitality tent, spot on.
That was
and a golf hospitality tent has a spot. There's a place for a golf hospitality tent on a golf course.
I was told they've sold a good many tickets for it.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
I don't know.
But I mean, that's just the deal. Like the deal with First In was that it lasted so long. Like, not only was it bad,
did it really?
But you had the guy started like the 20. And took like wedding steps all the way to the 50, and it was just cringy the whole way.
I do remember that now. You know what? That was so bad that I think in my mind I blocked it out.
Oh no! It was. I mean, I was like, I can't watch this. This is too bad.
Are we gonna see the shark again?
When he gets to the middle and throws the fin up, like they expect everybody just to like erupt. And it's like, oh, God, we can't do this.
How did I not get thrown out of a press box with that, Chase? Because that's the kind of thing
that I typically... Are you paying attention before the game, though, at this level?
Not usually, but that would be the kind of thing that I would have made fun of out loud.
Yeah.
Because the mascot thing should not be hard.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that really breaks it down.
No, but it shouldn't. The mascot thing should not be complicated, and Ole Miss has turned it into this complicated scenario that it never had to be.
Never had to be.
And you just keep digging the hole. I mean, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Chase asked, are we going to see the shark again? I know they've kind of phased it. They phased out the old one, and they've kind of phased in, but on the periphery of a fluffier shark. But where are they going with the shark? Is it coming back?
I got nothing.
Or is he dead?
So just in general, like I like the shark as a peripheral, like the war eagle for Auburn. I like as a peripheral, like, you know, imagery for Ole Miss. Like it's sharks are cool, you know, but just it's not a God, just, man, that can opener they put out there. Like it's just, I mean, I don't understand how people get in the room. And I mean, obviously, where's the hand raise guy to go? Like, guys, like how complicated is this? Let's just put a gosh dang fluffy shark out there and be done with it.
Here's what I don't understand to both of you. Ole Miss baseball's kind of known for two things. One, it's kind of known for having a hard time getting to Omaha, and then number two, it's known for its atmosphere, specifically the beer showers in right field. Is that fair?
Yeah, sure. Those are still there. There's no change.
Yeah, I know, but now you've messed up the view.
It's behind it.
But it's right there.
It is. It's right behind it.
So you completely changed the ambiance of right field. Why would you do that? That was the one. If you watched a highlight from an Ole Miss baseball game, the announcers and the broadcasters were just waiting for someone to hit a home run for Ole Miss. It didn't matter who, it didn't matter where, and it really didn't matter when. But if everybody threw the beer things up in the air, they showed it because that's cool. It's unique to them. Why would you mess with that? In any shape, form, or fashion, why would you mess with that?
Neil, the BPG, have you heard the term, like, could screw up a wet dream? That's what We Are Ole Miss stands for. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Chase is sitting here being so quiet, he doesn't want to say a word. Right,
that's what endears us.
Right field didn't need an upgrade. It was already really cool.
Well, it needed more room for students. It needed more things for them.
But yeah. This isn't for students,
no,
right?
No, I think it's – I haven't looked. I had it up the other day. I forget.
See, I kind of thought they had the outfield sort of worked out. Left field was one atmosphere.
Well, like in the mocks of after the Capitol campaign, it's all pretty neat out there, but that's going to be a minute. That's not tomorrow by any stretch of the imagination. So
okay. That's fine. Again, did they need a temporary thing?
Well, I didn't think so, but I got nothing here. I don't know.
They did this exact same thing before when they put out the student section at Ole Miss was going to have these like student pavilions they could hang out and like socialize, and then they put up like grow tents like zip tied to the top of the stadium.
Yeah,
we recall those.
Yeah, we may have made fun of those a little.
Like. Nobody's going to notice, guys. They're going to think it looks exactly like those pretty pictures we put out.
Wouldn't the wind have picked one of those up and thrown it over the stadium? Were they secured pretty good?
I mean, it may.
I never walked up there and yanked on it. See,
of course, that was back in the day when, quite frankly, nobody sat that high anyway. It didn't matter.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, a little different deal now. Now you'd be taking away seating.
On other news, so y'all know Ben Mintz was my roommate at the ATO house at Ole Miss.
I did know that, yes.
Yeah. So I saw him in New Orleans, took a picture with him, where we talked for about 30 minutes before he was supposed to host the Chad Kelly deal, which Chad Kelly got into a fight with the bar owner and the whole event got canceled and everybody had to refund their money and, but before that happened, Ben took a picture and sent it to me, and I posted it on Twitter. It's the most, like, this is how successful, like, he is through this whole thing. It's the most, like, I got, like, 1,000 likes on Twitter on this thing. Like, I've rarely got more than 20 on something. That dude is
got a following.
It's crazy.
Well, he works really hard. He's a great, as you know, he's a great guy. And he just has this infectious energy about him. And at first, you know what, honestly, when it first started, I sort of thought, well, you know, this is the novelty of this. When it wears off, he'll kind of fade away. And I was wrong. He's really been able to promote himself in a way with Barstool that his brand is bigger than Ole Miss now. I mean, not his brand is bigger than actually Ole Miss, but the Ole Miss portion of his brand is not all that he is. I want to make sure I make that clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's more to him than that now. Yeah, yeah, and he's really good. He does a lot of funny stuff. And look, Barstool has this massive following. I always hear all these people make fun of them, and I'm like, you're wrong. I mean, they young people love it.
Yeah, they definitely got a niche that they figured out.
All right, Cole. Good luck with the wings, my man.
Guys, enjoyed it. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
See you, buddy. You're being awfully quiet about,
no, I'm
about
good.
Right field.
I was checking some stuff. I just got a good point. The other club areas are sold out. So if you want premium seating, it's all that's left. So you get this or nothing. It also gets a parking spot right behind it in the parking lot right behind it.
Do you get showered by the beer showers?
Well, I mean, it appears to be some level of indoors. No, it's in the little tent. You're good.
Is the tent like air conditioned and stuff, or you don't know?
No.
Okay.
You're asking me again. I have not been out there. Somebody sent me a picture today, and it actually which is probably an indictment in itself. I stared at it for like 10 seconds, and I almost said, like, where is that? Like, what stadium? Like, what am I looking at? And then I was like, oh, hell. That's like, what that is.
Well, your brother put up some pictures on Twitter. I saw them.
He was not happy.
He was displeased.
He was not happy.
I agreed with his assessment.
He was not happy.
I thought at first it was a joke. No. I thought it was a Photoshop, and then I realized it wasn't.
No, it was real.
Yeah, so here's what happened with Chase's mic stand, and I've got to get a reverse drill.
Okay.
And I've got to
move. What are we talking about?
The mic stand's kind of in your face.
It used to not be.
We had to shift some things around because, quite frankly, I had to get a different chair because I was having back issues to the point where I wasn't going to be able to continue to do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got to move Chase's mic stand, and I've just got to get a drill and to do it. And frankly, it's a little bit complicated, so I might have to get somebody who is more adept with the drill than I am to do it correctly. That's okay. What happened. That's the deal.
Okay.
The other thing we probably could do is you probably could move one way or the other and just swing it. We'll fool with it.
First time.
Yeah. Like right now, I'm looking right at you. I see all
it's
of
okay.
You.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's not as good, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Probably the right way to put it.
Yeah. Well, we need to build a new studio in here. That's what we need to do. We need to have somebody come in.
And like really.
And like do a remodeling.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's what we need to do. Frankly, that's something we ought to do in the summer. Have somebody come in and just remodel the whole thing. Take like a week.
And just make it
just
right.
Redo it. So if you're someone that does that kind of thing.
Holler.
Hit us up. We can make something work. For sure. All right, let's see. We got a call. Hey, who we got?
Yo, it's Grime.
Hey, Grime, what's up, man?
Oh, man. I'm just living in a god. Excuse my language. I'm just
you're living
in
you called
a goddamn
it.
World where Georgia's the champion, man. God damn, man.
Yeah. That kind of had to be a weird night for an Auburn fan. I mean, looking at those two teams on the field, knowing that one
but
of
you,
them.
But you were all in on Alabama, weren't you? Like, you there was no doubt in your mind you'd rather Alabama win that football game.
Look, because it was just status quo. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, you're
and,
used to
it's
that.
So weird. It's so weird because as an Auburn fan, over the past 15 years, we have a way better record against Bama than we do Georgia. But we've always been able to hang. Like, man, look, man, we went to the championship in 2010. Won it, and we went to the championship in 2013. Y'all ain't never been close. And then after they lost the way they did in 2017, and we could just rub it in some more, it's done.
Yeah, because you're used to Alabama winning.
Yeah, there's no new fear in that.
It's just like, okay, they did it again.
Like, dude, my friend, my best friend that's a Bama fan is like, it's not even like a thing where he's like all in my face and everything with it. He's always thinking about the next season. Now he's the thing that he's focused on. He wants Bama to get a three-peat before Saban leaves. That's what he wants.
I think that chance died.
I did too.
Yeah, that had to be it, right?
They had to win Monday night, and then they would have had a real chance because I think they are the favorite.
Yeah, could have kept going and going and going.
Next year is just going to be. I think next year is going to be Bama in Ohio State's world, and everybody else just going to be living in it.
Yeah, I can see that. Ohio State, they got a lot of weapons back. They got a chance to be really good. And then Alabama, yeah. I mean, because listen, the fact that Alabama's got all these guys in the portal just means that Alabama's processed all these guys. That means they're bringing guys in.
True. But y'all, the goddamn championship, before we get off of it, man. Because me and my pops, I talked about this with my pops, man. And it was like, I said, Nick Saban even said that, hey, look, he even looked in the mirror and said, man, look, I can no longer win a championship doing the, you know, the pound the ball, you know, bludgeon them to death, you know, type of style. I got to switch it up. I got to get an explosive passing game going. And yet Kirby Smart said, no. And I was like, I said, man, there's no way that old Nick Saban loses to new Nick Saban. And yet it happened.
I tell you what, I'm going to be honest. I I know everybody likes to tell the Georgia jokes. We watched the SEC shorts thing. We were laughing about it, but they nailed it. There was a line that Hope said that was dead on.
But no.
When she said, the next time that you're in this place, you won't need hope. You won't hope you'll win.
You'll know.
You'll know you'll win. I think Georgia's about to, I think Georgia's about to be a bitch.
Really?
I do. I think now that they've got a title, mm-hmm. I think he can pull his claws out now and go for it. He does not strike me as the Ed Orgeron type who's going to go on a basically a bender.
Okay, so I was going to ask y'all, so do you guys think Texas A&M makes it to a championship before Georgia wins another one?
Ooh, that's a good question. We could do a whole show on that one day. What happens first, Texas A&M makes it to the title game or Georgia wins another one?
Georgia wins another one.
I think so.
I'm not even contemplating
this.
The
only thing that makes me contemplate it is talking to some coaching people who say over and over, man, they're going to be so good. They're going to be so talented that they can't help but win.
You want to bet? It's A&M. We'll find a way.
But that's kind of what everybody said about Georgia for a while, too, is that, they'll find a way to screw it up. And here they are.
And here they are.
I mean, they've got a ring. They've got a ring. And now they did that with – look, I'm happy for Stetson Bennett because we talked about this the other day. He feels like seems like a great kid. Stetson Bennett's not going to go tear the NFL up.
He's not going to tear the Arena Football League up.
So what do they do the next time when they get the next Justin Fields and they actually let him play?
Oh, I get it. I mean,
because everywhere else they are loaded.
But do they?
I don't know. I mean, I can't. I know what I saw the other night. I mean, fourth quarter. That's usually when Alabama takes over a game, and in the fourth quarter, Georgia just kicked their ass, and it was kind of felt like. I'll be honest. I was sitting in my living room watching it, and I kind of thought, we're watching the passing of a torch.
Oh, don't say that, man.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you what kind of went through my mind as that fourth quarter was.
You live by the fruit of your lips, Neil. You live by the fruit of your lips.
Well, that's true, but I'm just telling you, the fourth quarter rolled around, and I thought, this feels like a torch getting passed.
Man, do you know how.
And if I'm honest, the handshake at the end of the game felt like a proud dad who, that was the first, he always played his son and when they played basketball or whatever, and he always tried to beat him, never let him mm-hmm. win, never let him win. And the son, mm-hmm. the son finally beat him, and he was really proud of it. That's kind of what it felt like. It had a weird feeling to it. And if you tell me that Nick Saban coaches one more year, wins a title, and walks away on top, I totally buy it. I totally buy it. And then once Alabama's back to some form of mortality,
it's all Georgia, huh?
I mean, if you told me that someone's positioned to go on a run, I'd say it's Georgia. I mean, okay. Would you even say anybody else? I mean, if I told you that 5 years from now, one SEC program was dominating the league and it's not named Alabama, everybody would say, just Georgia.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Because they just did it with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. Stetson Bennett at quarterback.
Bennett.
If you're Stetson Bennett, do you really contemplate transferring? Don't you? You don't have an NFL career. Don't you just hang out and capitalize on being a Georgia legend?
I don't know, man. I might let my Georgia career end with that night.
Yeah, but they talking about he's coming back. They talking about he's coming back.
I mean, you've got to make him the starter.
But then what happens if he loses three games? I don't want to go out like that.
I was just going to say, what happens if you go 10-3 next year?
You don't think
the Outback Bowl be real nice, Grun?
I think I just if I'm him, I think that was my last Georgia game. I'm a legend.
Okay, well look, I brought up the Texas A&M thing, so I'm gonna ask y'all, since Chase really didn't seem to buy into Texas A&M for the rest of this decade to 2030, if I put the over under at 1.5 division titles for Texas A&M.
Okay.
Would you take the over or the under?
10 years, 1.5 division titles. Keep in mind
it's 2030. So we've already 2 seasons into this decade. So
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know, so it's
1.5. 2 out of 8.
2 out of 8. And Texas and Oklahoma are joining the league.
And if I said it at 1.5, would you put it at, you know, would you say over or under?
Under.
Under.
And the way they're recruiting, you're going to say under?
Just look at the rest of the division, man.
But I'm just thinking of it as from their fans, like they're going to see it as they're not getting their, you know, their money's worth.
Well, I mean, so far they haven't. I mean, they've won some recruiting titles.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Yeah. Before I let you guys,
they just got through losing. They went 2-4 in the West in a year that they beat Alabama and Auburn.
And that still doesn't make sense, man.
I mean, they lost to Arkansas. They lost to Ole Miss. They lost to Mississippi State. They lost to a 6-7 LSU team. They did. They lost all those games.
And, I mean, I went out there, and it's a weird place. They I get it, but it's a weird place.
Yeah.
And, you know, before I let you guys go, man, you know, I got a hype on, you know, Auburn basketball. Man.
Hey, real quick, Grind. Hey, Grind, you want some shrimp?
What you mean?
You like, eat shrimp?
I love fried shrimp. So what you talking about?
All right. Send me a DM me. Send me an address, and we'll send some to you. New
okay,
sponsor.
Okay,
send some shrimp.
I'm with that, man. But look, and you already know, man, but I got to hit y'all with a trivia. I mean,
yeah,
y'all want a chance for a super chat, you know, what's up?
Yeah. All right. Hit us up.
All right. Look, now look, it's different. This is a different trivia. You're not going to write nothing down. It's one question. Three teams fit in this question.
So is it harder than last week? You upping it now that we got one?
It depends.
It's
it
all
depends.
Good. Go ahead. All right.
Since the year 2000, multiple teams have had at least one undefeated season. But only 3 Power 5 teams have had 2 undefeated seasons, which is the most. 3 Power 5 teams are tied at 2 undefeated seasons, which is the most
since 2000. Okay.
Can you name those 3 Power 5 teams? And I'm pretty sure you guys won't get the year, but you know if y'all do happen to get the years, I throw a little extra on the super chat.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not trying the years. Off the top of my head, then I'll start talking through this. Alabama, SC, and Ohio State were the first 3 that came to my mind.
Okay, SC.
So start removing them from there if you have a problem.
No, South Carolina.
Okay, look.
Southern Cal came.
Okay, go ahead, Grind.
Okay. I give you guys 7 guesses. 7 guesses.
Oh, God.
But look, though, I'm going to say this. You said Alabama, Ohio State, USC. You've already got 2 of the 3 with Alabama and Ohio State.
Okay, so SC was wrong.
Yes, USC was wrong. Okay. You got 4 guesses left.
I see what you mean. All right. So Ohio State was right. Alabama was right.
Okay. Since 2000.
LSU lost in 2003.
Yeah, LSU.
They lost twice in 2008 or 2009 or whatever the hell year that was.
Yeah, they've only had the 1 undefeated year.
That's right.
Because they lost to Florida in the 1 undefeated year.
Texas hasn't done it.
When Florida won the national championship, I know the 1 year they lost to Ole Miss,
They lost.
Okay.
It's got to be an undefeated thing.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to think. They didn't have 2 other undefeated seasons in the last 22 years, have they?
No. Clemson hasn't done it. Power 5, Grind?
Power 5. 3 Power 5 programs. You've already got 2 without Alabama, Ohio State. I'll say Alabama was in the year 2009 when they beat Texas in the championship. They went undefeated in 2020, the COVID year. And Ohio State was 2002 when they won the championship. And the other year was 2012 when they was actually on probation.
Okay, so no Clemson?
Clemson only had 1 undefeated season. That was in 2018.
Okay, and I guess I cost us a guess there. I was kind of more thinking out loud, but it's fine. It's all good.
I'm struggling.
Okay, what do we do?
Did they all win championships? Were all?
Well, I mean, the Ohio State.
Okay, I have a question here.
You say what now?
I'm trying to. Okay, never mind. They wouldn't have been packed. I have two guesses, but they're neither one of them are Power Five, at least at the time, because Boise State has done this.
No,
have they not?
They were Power Five from the year 2000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not Power Five. That's what I'm pointing. Yeah, they're not Power Five. That's my point. I'm ruling them out. I wasn't guessing that.
Okay, you're good.
And I feel like maybe Utah has done this, but they weren't Power Five at the time. They haven't been in the league since then. Neil, I'm not guessing this, Grind. Florida State, did they do it a second time or just the one under Jimbo?
I think just the one under Jimbo. What was that, 14?
Oh, hell. What do we – Grind. Auburn. Shit. 04 in the title year.
Oh, son of a
Jesus.
I wanted you to just get rid of that little bias you had.
Okay.
Because I kept thinking championship team.
Yeah, I was too.
That's what I was doing. I was running through.
I mean, hell, I picked the SC team in the same year.
Oh, yep, yeah.
Auburn did it in 2004 and in 2010.
And I basically covered the 04 team. You think I'd figure that out? I was at that Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I haven't been looking at the stream. I bet y'all are calling us morons, okay? Because I'm just now coming back to it.
Yeah, Jason Campbell and, yeah, oh, man.
Okay.
Now, look, I kind of understand that, you know, two of those, like one of their programs doesn't really fit with the other two when you think about it on the big scheme of things.
But no, I'm ahead so, 2 years. Yeah, I mean.
No, now that 04 team should have played for a title. I mean, there's no question about it.
Oh, yeah, man, no doubt. But you, man, you know, that was fun little trivia. I'm going to let you guys get back to the show, man. I'm going to keep enjoying it.
All right, appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Grant.
Always.
All right, man.
Yeah, we were never going to live that down had we not thought of that. That would have been really bad, really bad.
Yeah. I just wasn't thinking about, I guess Cam's year they went undefeated.
Yeah.
That 2014 was, they were terrific. They were loaded. They had NFL players all over that roster. Who played in that title game? It was USC and Oklahoma?
It was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blowout.
Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing. I'm disappointed in myself.
Are you really?
Yeah, a little bit. I should have known that. I know everyone's hanging on this score. Oxford's junior varsity team beat Starkville's junior varsity team 5-0. Maybe the most dominant JV team in the state right now. So there you go. Now, I was glad he got to play. He got quarantined this morning, and he had to test out of it. And so it was kind of nerve-wracking. And then there was some concern that there was a rule that would require him to wait 24 hours before he could participate, even though he had tested negative. And that rule was not applied. So he got to play tonight. And I was glad because it was the last JV game of the season. And you know how it is when you're a freshman and you're getting a handful of minutes here and there. But now that they're down the stretch, and look, the coach, Hunter Crane's doing the right thing. The older kids deserve to play.
Yeah, sure.
And even if they don't necessarily, quote, deserve to play, you want them to play. Because one of two things is going to happen when they get to play at the end, right? And they have to win two straight district games to make the playoffs now.
Oh, do they really?
And so you want them to play because you want one of two things to happen. You either want them to win, obviously, and make the playoffs and have that accomplishment, or you want them to have the opportunity to lose on the field. And as painful as that is, there's closure. And you're together. You've trained with these guys, and you've off-season and all that stuff with them, and ridden buses, and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's something. It's heartbreaking, but it's bittersweet at the same time because you suffer with your guys.
Yeah, sure.
And so he didn't want to. I mean, we were nervous about him testing this morning because I didn't want him to, and he didn't, it wasn't about me, he didn't want to be the one that caused everybody to get contact traced. Yeah. Because just a few days ago, they were on a bus to Jackson and back. He didn't want them to get contact traced and it come up where they couldn't play tomorrow night in their district game.
That's the varsity game's tomorrow.
Yeah, the varsity game against Starkville's tomorrow here.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was kind of nerve-wracking. Like, I didn't know what to do, and I was trying to figure out what do we do, and did we just quarantine and not play? But he really wanted to play, and so it all worked out. But it was nerve-wracking for a few minutes. That's why I abandoned you, and by about 1 o'clock, I was drained. Who's Carson Stringer? His mother. Someone says JV soccer testing more extreme than corporate office testing. Probably some truth to that.
Yeah, Cam is the best transfer of all time.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
The best JUCO transfer in the history of...
Yes. Yep. Blinn?
Yeah, Blinn.
Almost went to state. Would have been a hell.
People would never know how close it was.
They win a title? You good enough?
Their defense was stacked. Chase, they either would have won a title or they would have gotten super close to a title. Ole Miss fans would have been nervous. They'd have been right there. I don't think they would have won a title, but I wouldn't have won to bet much against them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Dan Mullen could have done what he did with Dak, what would he have done with Cam?
Jason, if Derek Diamond's healthy, he will be the opening day starter.
Do you anticipate him not being healthy?
I think it's potentially a time bomb, but he had a good fall and he's been healthy so far, so you hope that continues.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
At the risk of getting people worked up, what's this team's ceiling? I mean, it's obviously.
I mean, Omaha is their ceiling for sure. I mean,
what's their floor?
Because
the part of the floor is he has an injury and he can't finish the season.
They're gonna hit enough to be okay no matter what. Because they even have some depth there. I mean, there's a couple guys that can hit that aren't gonna play every day. I mean, look again. Ceiling is Omaha. Ceiling is everybody stays healthy. Diamond stays healthy. Washburn and Gaddis are both really good. Brandon Johnson holds up the back end, and it is what it is. Worst case scenario is Diamond has injuries. Those transfers don't translate like you would hope, because that's very possible, just like anything else. And either it's an injury or you just kind of don't, because they're going to be predicated off the long ball a good bit. You just don't hit the ball out of the ballpark for a week or two. I mean, 14, 16, 15, 15. I mean, complete floor. I mean, yeah.
Where you're a Two, someplace.
Yeah. I don't see any way they fall out. They hit too much to fall completely out of the picture. I just don't see it. And frankly, Mike doesn't have those kind of seasons. He typically finds ways to get them in that area. So yeah, I mean they're good. They, in a perfect world, they look a lot like Arizona last year, where they hit like crazy and their pitching's not elite, but not bad, good enough,
adequate.
Yeah, gets them through. It's all right. Something like that.
Just off the top of your head, not the rest of the league, not all 13 teams, but what league teams have your attention?
I think it's very much traditional. I think State's got a lot back. I like them a lot. The way they've been able to just put recruiting together. In the West, Arkansas, for sure. They had some young guys that I like. Kind of curious to see how they come off last year, the way it went. Like, just the scar tissue with some of what they did is interesting.
Spend the whole year number one, and then you don't get to Omaha.
Yeah, it's a little interesting from a scar tissue standpoint there. And then I know you're all shocked that Vanderbilt will be very good next year.
Again?
Yeah, damnedest thing.
Now, how does he do it?
I know.
What about LSU?
I don't like them as much for whatever reason. Yeah.
Florida.
Really good. Really, really good. I like Georgia. It's kind of that mid-level team. I think Tennessee falls back just a touch Vitello felt like he did, look, he's a damn good coach. I mean, he's a great program builder, and this is the one I probably eat my words a little bit on, and that's okay. I'll buy it if I do. It felt like that first year over their heads a little bit, though, where now you kind of get into the grind of the program building. And they're going to be good. They're going to make the tournament. But I don't see the crazy great year from Tennessee.
And now everybody prepares for you.
Yeah, I think they're down a little there.
Okay. Let's see. So the rest of the week, we'll be on – we're watching Transfer Portal. I promise you, even though there's not tons of, like, 82 stories about it, we're putting stuff up on the message board. They have the wide receiver from Wyoming was in. He left late this afternoon. I think Tennessee's hoping he goes to Knoxville. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Isaiah Neor is his name, a wide receiver. But Ole Miss really wanted to get him to campus. That was a big deal, and they got him there. So we'll be keeping up with all the transfer portal stuff. Classes start at Ole Miss on Tuesday. So that's the first enrollment day that guys can officially – go to class and start their clock. But as we've been talking about, they've got another 10 to 12 max days to get guys in for this first semester where they could go through spring and all of that. And then it doesn't end. There will be guys that are in the portal the spring that will show up in time to go through summer. And then Ole Miss found its starting center last year in June.
Yeah,
and so
it happens.
It's going to continue to the portal will continue to happen. There's so many guys in the portal. We'll have Neil's picks up tomorrow, just picking the NFL games, having a little fun. I'm taping a soft verbal podcast tomorrow afternoon with Tyler Siski. We're going to talk about the transfer portal. He was just out at the coaches' convention. We're going to talk about some guys in the portal, just the portal itself, how it's changing the game in recruiting, what it's meaning for high school kids. Pretty interesting topic that I think you guys will enjoy. Trying to think what else we've got going on. That's about it.
We'll keep a little different. Rippey interviewed a fighter pilot yesterday. That's pretty good. So his podcast, if you want something a little different, that was interesting.
So that'll be up. We'll have coverage of Ole Miss Auburn basketball on Saturday night, and recruiting and all of that. We'll get you into next week. So until Monday, we'll be back with you Monday morning with another edition of the Oxford Exxon podcast. Until then, have a great weekend. Stay safe out there, and we will talk to you soon.